Beck, Jaron Pilts produces the program. Judy Eganoff, Amherst 1031 Exchange expert. Today's guest, I'm Mark Schneidman, and my client's realtor. Our phone number, 564-1290, 564-1290. After the program, RadioRealEstate.com. RadioRealEstate.com. You can actually listen to the program on as a podcast. Just listen, go to the website, or call me at 898-4242. The first segment, we talked a lot about alternatives to someone who was owned some property and wanted to sell. And now we're just going to go back to some basics, the traditional, the 1031 exchange. Someone owns a property. It could be out of state, and it's an investment property. It could be land. It could be a single-family residence. Could be units. And they just want to sell that and buy something else, the old standby 1031 exchange.
Right.
What's the first thing they should do or not do, the pitfalls you've seen people do and go, oops, now it's too late? And what do they have to look at in terms of what they have to spend if what they have is worth $1 million? Those kind of basic questions.
Good questions, Mark, because you must figure an exchange before you do it. You can't sell property and then decide to exchange. You must have set up the tax-deferred exchange prior to the close of the sale of the property that you're getting rid of to replace it with something that you want. So one of the first mistakes is that people don't think about exchanging because they don't know it exists, usually, or perhaps they do know it exists, but they think it's too complicated, so they don't feel they can do it. And it's not complicated at all. It's a very straightforward, well-defined, federally regulated tax shelter. The one time in your life you want Uncle Sam as your partner. He's a good silent partner in this transaction. So you look at the property that you're selling. Let's say it's worth $1 million, and let's say that you have remaining debt of $500,000. So in simple terms, excuse me, before looking at the fact that you could reduce the million by costs and commissions, which you can, to balance an exchange, I'd like to just keep the numbers round. So we have a selling price of $1 million.
So selling price, in other words, after you paid your commissions and closing costs, you net $1 million.
That's the way to go.
And you owe $500,000 on
it. And you owe $500,000 that is paid off at the close of the sale.
And this is the property
sale
that you want to relinquish. Okay, right. Go ahead.
Very good. And so now you have $500,000 in cash with the qualified intermediary.
Now this is all QI. In your head, you're speculating because you have not sold this yet. This is what you're
planning. But you're planning.
Okay.
And you're calling Amherst, and you're calling your CPA, typically. You're calling to find out what your basis is. You want to know what your tax obligation is on this property. And so we've established that there's $500,000 in debt. But what we didn't establish is that you bought the property 20 years ago for $72,000, and the only reason there's $500,000 debt on it is that you refinanced it 4 or 5 years ago to pull some money out. You pulled some equity out of this wonderfully appreciating property.
Okay.
So $500,000 in cash, $500,000 in debt relief. You want to purchase replacement property of $1 million. So if you purchased replacement property of less than $1 million, let's say you decide, I don't want $500,000 in debt, but I know I have to replace debt, or any debt that I don't replace is taxable, but I really only want $300,000 in debt. So I'm going to buy an $800,000 property. I'm going to use all of my cash, my $500,000. I'm going to take on debt of $300,000. And I'm simply going to pay tax on $200,000. So one of the most misunderstood aspects of exchanging is that people feel that if you don't buy at least $1 million in property in this scenario, you won't have an exchange. So what I wanted to illustrate was you have so many choices.
It's an exchange. You're just going to pay a little bit of tax.
You elect.
Now, you could do the reverse or the converse or the inverse, whatever the
right
word is. If you sold a property, and of course, you haven't sold it yet. We're all talking about you want to plan this in advance. You don't want to sell your property and then call somebody up and say, hey, I sold my property. How do I do an exchange? You are anticipating selling
right
and netting $1 million. You have $500,000 in debt.
No, netting $500,000 in cash.
I'm sorry. You are you sell the property for $1 million. That's your net sales
net of costs and commissions. Net, right.
Yes. You owe $500,000. You can buy something for $800,000, use the entire $500,000 as a debt.
Correct.
And maybe take $200,000 cash. Would
yes.
you say? Would you pay the same tax?
Exactly the same tax
on the $200,000
on debt relief or cash.
So one way you would have a lower debt. The other way you would have $200,000 in your pocket.
And the norm is to look at 25 cents on the dollar.
Wait, who's Norm? I thought your husband was Rob.
He's Rob. I don't know. Norm is around every now and then. Yeah. Not very common.
I'm sorry.
The norm. The average is about 25 cents on the dollar. So you look at that $200,000 that you've put in your pocket or $200,000 in relieved debt.
Right.
And really, you get to keep about 75% of it. That's what's active. And you'll have to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of 25%.
Okay.
Well, between state and federal tax.
I want to come up and take a break here in a minute or so. Mm-hmm. But the final thing is you mentioned the basis. Because everyone goes, well, if I own something and I'm going to sell it, say, for $1 million after I pay commissions and closing costs, so I know I have to buy something for $1 million if I want to avoid any taxes. But in addition, we've learned that you also must keep the same debt of $500,000.
Very commonly.
You can't add money. You can't add your own money.
Oh, yes, you can.
What if you added $300,000 of your own money?
Cash offsets debt relief.
So you can do that.
Absolutely.
You can put cash into the deal, have lower debt.
Yes.
And then not pay any tax.
Cash absolutely offsets debt relief. Debt, however, does not offset cash. You cannot increase the debt so that you get cash in your pocket. Any cash that you get out of an exchange is taxable.
Right.
So this only goes one way. Uncle Sam only goes one way here. If you pull money out of your pocket, that offsets debt relief. That is, can you hear Uncle Sam applauding right now?
Gotcha.
That is a big deal.
Gotcha. The basis you mentioned, does that affect? You still have to buy something for $1 million, whether your basis is $900,000 or $50,000. You still have to buy something for $1 million, right?
Every now and then, Mark, I have someone call me who inherited a property, and the stepped up basis is $950,000, and they're selling it for $1 million, so they have a $50,000 taxable event. And then all of a sudden, you need to take a look at whether it is valuable to do a tax-deferred exchange. If clearly they want to buy replacement property and there's nothing else that interests them, the exchange works. But as you get a high basis property, sometimes people put tax blinders on instead of really looking at what the best business deal is for them. And sometimes a tax-deferred exchange is not it. So that's why it's important to know your basis. If you've got a $50,000 basis and $1 million property, that's kind of a no-brainer. That is a big tax to pay. So as it gets smaller, you want to be thinking about what you really want to do. Maybe you want to pay tax and go on safari in Africa.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll take a break, come back for our final segment with Judy Eganoff, Amherst 1031 Exchange, and then, of course, the fourth and final segment of the program, we'll do our weekly multiple listing update. This final segment with Judy will cover about being real creative and juggling something called, what is it? Is it 121?
Section
121, combining with 1031. Since we abandoned 1034, we want to come in, you know, and we've decided not to do a TIC, and we're avoiding the TST.
Get the Tylenol.
and of course, the REIT, you know.
Right.
You're really left with RESPECT.
And don't
Thanks
forget
for
Norm.
Listening. And Norm, who might be next week's guest. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.